by Sports Interaction, Canada Sportsbook.
Hey, hockey fans, and welcome to Game Over Vancouver on a night where the Vancouver Canucks destroyed the Vegas. Well, I don't know if it's destroyed, but they beat the Vegas Golden Knights 5-1, extending their modest win streak on their road trip to two games, which is a lot better than one game or no games. And now they could, imagine this, they could sweep their three-game road trip with a win over the mighty San Jose Sharks tomorrow evening. So great show for you lined up tonight. As always, we'll go for a couple segments. The first segment, I'll break down the game with my guest. The second segment, we'll talk bigger picture. And the final segment, we will get to all of your feedback in the comment section. So welcome. I am Clay Emo. I'm Canuck Clay on Twitter and on YouTube. And I encourage you to like and subscribe to the Steve Dangle Podcast Network, the channel that you're watching right now, SDPN. Like the video, it always helps us out. Subscribe so you don't miss any of the live streams, either Game Over Vancouver, or if you're interested in any of the other six Canadian cities, you can follow those streams as well. And you're also welcome to follow me on YouTube and on Twitter at Canuck Clay as well. So once again, three segments, talk about the game, big picture, and then we'll get to some of your feedback. But let's get started right away. We want to thank our sponsors. And this is what I get to read and sound like I know what I'm talking about. Think you know what way it's going to go? Make your bet with Sports Interaction. Whether it's World Cup, hockey, football, or basketball, Sports Interaction has you covered. Bet pregame, live in play, or on one of our many prop bets. Sports Interaction makes it easy to deposit, play, and cash out. Join now and see that all sports betting has to offer. Head to sportsinteraction.com, SDPN. That's sportsinteraction.com, SDPN for Steve Dangle Podcast Network. And 19 and over, please play responsibly. All right. Speaking of responsible, I think I always use that segue, but I am going to use it very, not even liberally, truly, for my next guest, someone that I've collabed with before, someone I have a lot of respect for, a fellow Canucks fan, a fellow content creator here in British Columbia. So let's bring him on, and I'll let him introduce himself to you. Please welcome Mr. Sean Warren of the Area 51 Network. Sean, thanks for joining me tonight to talk about this big win.
Oh, thanks for having me. I mean, what a night to kind of follow up with a show on that. That's,
yeah,
they couldn't have timed that better.
Pretty lucky. And you may know, and the viewers here know that there's three of us that split these, Sean. It's me, Samantha Chang, who you know quite well, and yes, a young upstart, wonderful YouTuber named Kaya May. And I think now that Canucks have eight wins, I think I've done three, Sam's done three, and Kaya's only done two. But I think my winning percentage is the best. I don't know if it's the positivity thing or whatever, but thrilled you're here, Sean.
We're gonna go with that.
Before we get into tonight's game, and we have so much to cover, can you tell everyone a bit about yourself and where they can follow you? Tell them that right off the bat.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you can follow me. I'm usually at Sean Warren 234. You can find me on Twitter there. I'm also the founder of the Area 51 Sports Network. So you can follow along with everything that the network is doing at Area 51, A51Sportsnet.com. So we cover a lot of different sports. We've been doing a lot of World Cup coverage. Of course, we cover the CHL and the Canucks as well. So we've got lots of different podcasts and journalists there. So follow along as we continue to expand our network as well.
Awesome. Big fan of what Sean and his crew are doing, taking over the digital space, one podcast and one YouTube show at a time. And truly, it's not just Vancouver Canucks coverage. The beautiful thing is it's worldwide coverage, it's junior coverage. It basically runs the whole gamut. So thank you, Sean, for joining me. Look, before we talk about individual performances and so on and so forth, overall, what do you think of the performance and were you surprised by it? You can be honest.
I was surprised by it. And really the reasoning be kind of like, obviously it hasn't been a great start to the season. It's much like you trying to climb back into your house through the window, how the Canucks kicked off this season. I mean, this is a team that played Vegas just mere days ago and had a very different result. This was a very dominant, I would say this is the best 60 minute performance that the Canucks have had all season up to this point. You know, big difference makers for Vegas were practically invisible. Guys like Jack Eichel, didn't really notice him out there all that much. Whereas Pettersson all over the ice, even Nils Höglander, like fantastic game all around by the Canucks, and something that you could take a lot of little things from and potentially kind of snowball that forward.
Yeah, I love the callback, Sean, to the Monday night game where we lost 5-4, where we actually played two good periods against Vegas. And then Vegas, you're right, Eichel, Mark Stone, they really started to dominate that game just earlier this week. Thatcher Demko was in net. We'll get to that as well. But I think this game could have gone really differently. Didn't Vegas have two grade A chances within the first 2 minutes of this game? And it was almost like they kind of took over from where they left off on Monday. So it could have been a long night, but Martin came up big, and the Canucks, they bend, but they didn't break. And that's for sure in the first period.
Yeah. Those first 9-10 minutes, I was starting to worry about it for our show. Like, we weren't going to have a lot to talk about. It wasn't going to be good. But they woke up halfway through there and really didn't let their foot off the gas for the rest of the game there. I thought, you know, even Vegas getting one there, at no point was it a threat. I didn't think that it was, you know, an egregious error on the Canucks' part to allow that goal. So just a really, really great performance all around. A few great standouts as well.
I agree. And let's start in goal, because it was interesting, Sean. After the Vegas Canucks came back on Monday, on my own show, I was saying that, you know, I like Demko. I like him a lot. And he's going to obviously be such an important part of our team if we want to push for that playoff spot. But I, right on Monday night after that game, not because I was mad at him, I basically said, I'm going Martin in Colorado and I'm going Martin in Vegas, because just to give the Vegas Golden Knights a different look. They've faced Demko in the bubble. They faced Demko on Monday night. Why not give him, and you know, you got a back-to-back, you go Demko tomorrow. And I'm not trying to make, I'm not the only one who thought this, but there are a lot of people saying, no, you got to start Demko. He's your starter. You got to give him respect. You got to let him get his confidence back. So, I know hindsight 2020, were you okay with the Martin start? He only let in one goal. And do you see where Boudreau is coming from today?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's tough, right? Like, I'm not a goalie expert by any means, but to me, like, I just hope that whatever's happening is in the best interest of getting Demko rolling, and that's in collaboration with Ian Clark. If Ian Clark thinks, okay, we need to give him a different opportunity, we need to have him face San Jose, kind of build off of a lot of the good things that he was doing in that Vegas game, that last Vegas game. I'm all for whatever helps Thatcher Demko out at this point. Like, as far as I'm concerned, no goalie controversy. We have two great goaltenders. Yeah. One of them just needs to get a little bit of wins under his belt. And I mean, it's going to happen, right? Like, there's no panic button for me with Thatcher Demko.
Good.
You know, it's a little itchy for me as far as the entire team's concerned, but with Thatcher Demko, like, there's no panic there at all. And it's just a matter of when, not if, for when he gets rolling.
No, that's fair. And Boudreau made a good point today. I didn't even think about this, but he, or maybe that's why he's the coach and he's so smart. He actually then threw in, well, that's because Demko dominated the Sharks last. So he kind of threw that bone out as well. It's saying Demko went 3-0 against the Sharks. So even if that had nothing to do with the decision, it actually, it softens it a little bit, right? It makes it look a little better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it takes some of the pressure off of, like, oh, we got to get him rolling and all that type of things. Like, I honestly think he played really good against Vegas last game. So as far as I'm concerned, he's going. It's just a matter of, you know, the team building momentum with him and helping him collect a few W's on the way.
There you go. 9 of the 12 forwards today, Sean, had points, led by multi-point games by JT Miller with 3, a goal and 2 assists, and Kuzmenko, basically playing a point a game, which is pretty impressive. Let's talk about these two guys. For all JT Miller's, you know, all the worries about his defense and things, he's a good playmaker. He's got a great hockey IQ. And when he's thinking and engaged, as we saw in that last second period goal assist to Horvat, we can see why he got 99 points last season. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, him on the power play, you can see he likes that top circle snapshot.
Yeah.
He's got a very quick release. You know, as you touched on, there's some defensive concerns. Mind you, he made a great defensive back check tonight and made a nice play to get it out of the zone there. Yep. But I mean, his strength to his game is very much his offensive IQ and what he's able to do from that high, high top circle area there.
Yeah.
And you know, he's able to weaponize Bo Horvat a lot in the middle as well in that slot area. So it opens things up where, yes, he's got the shot that you have to respect, but he can also just kind of slot it into the middle there to Bo Horvat with 17 goals on the season. You have to respect that as well as a defensive.
Such a good point, actually, Sean, about weaponizing Horvat, because we know that as we love Horvat's leadership, he's improved his skating. Obviously, he's improved his shot. One thing he hasn't really improved is his passing ability. So Horvat is not the best playmaking center. So when you move Miller out of the middle and free him from those defensive responsibilities and make him a playmaker as opposed to the guy who has to drive everything or score everything or defend everything, we've seen some success. And that Miller Horvat combo with, and both of them can take draws, which is good. But that's a good combo. And Miller seems more comfortable on the wing, I think.
Totally agree. And
Yeah.
one of the things that I've been kind of harping on for a couple years now, and I'm really happy to see it in the last two games, finally, is that Horvat's not being used as the matchup center,
Ah.
right? He's not a defensive center. He can play responsibly to a point, but he's not a matchup guy. He's a very great north-south power forward sniper. Like, that's his game. So if you're able to get him the soft minutes and keep that responsibility, that defensive responsibility under Pettersson, who's just eating teams up right now,
Yeah.
that's the best way to do it. And that's a great way to get the value out of JT Miller as well. Where, I mean, with that new contract coming up, you're going to want to mine as much surplus value out of that deal as possible. Giving him the softer minutes
Yeah.
and the softer matchups is going to really help you spread that offense out
Yeah.
and kind of take that load off of those two guys.
Great point. And you mentioned Petey. I didn't know this. I knew he was quite dominant on both ends of the ice, like he's been. He had 9 shots on goal tonight, Sean, which is
He did.
pretty darn impressive. And you know what else is crazy? He led all forwards in shorthanded time. And this a penalty kill time. And this is something I don't think we would have fathomed before Boudreau got here at the end of last season, is him being our number one penalty killer. And he basically, aside from a really great stick check by Shea Theodore, he could have had 2 goals on the night, including a shorty.
Oh yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, watching him on the penalty kill right now is like watching an artist.
Yeah.
It's just like his ability to read the plays, get into the right position. He's picking off a lot of those passes and going for odd man rushes the opposite direction. He's a legitimate threat on the penalty kill offensively, which is, I mean, more than you could ever hope for out of your shutdown defenseman or defensive center, right? So, you know, Pettersson, like, we could heap all this praise on him all we want, and I still feel like it's not enough for what he's putting forward right now. Like, I want to see him take up even more of these kind of matchups. Like we were talking about earlier, Eichel, relatively invisible. Mark Stone, relatively invisible. They
Yeah.
were getting the Pettersson matchup, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're throwing a lot of different looks at Vegas today, as opposed to what we gave them Monday, not just in goal, but in how we match up our centers against them.
Yeah, it's funny. You might have noticed too, Sean, when Petey makes those great reads on the penalty kill, because he's already out there for 20, 30 seconds, by the time he gets it, he's gassed. So we haven't seen him, and he's not like the fastest skater in the first place, but he always gets caught, right? So he gets about a five stride lead, and then he gets caught around the blue line. So then we've never seen him actually deke because he has to let go of, and he's got a great shot, obviously. I'm not complaining, but the wrister, the
Yeah.
snapshot. But yeah, he gets basically caught, and that would make a lot of sense when you have more energetic power play guys from the other team. But it just kind of, it's like a pattern. It's not a bad pattern. He's making great reads, as you said, but we haven't seen that breakneck speed because he's probably been on the ice for 20, 30 seconds already.
Yeah, and I mean, this is where I like him being paired with Bo Horvat as well,
Yeah.
because you've got another guy with even more speed that could get that shot off as well. So, you know, I would normally in past years, like I had said, I don't want Bo Horvat in those kind of shutdown positions,
Yeah.
but this year, being able to partner him with Petey, like Petey is able to take those reads and shut down things defensively, and then Bo Horvat's able to streak down offensively for the counterattack.
Yeah.
So it's become a great 1-2 punch on
Yes.
the penalty kill to to utilize for them.
And it's interesting, the three pairs that they, at least by ice time, it looks like it's Horvat and PD. Then you roll out Mikheyev and Lazara, the two newcomers. And then a weird pairing of Miller and Oman as your third. Yeah, but they're fine, I guess. They were fine. Vegas went 0-3, and we went 3-5. So before we get to our power play, Sean, Kuzmenko, I want to bring up now. He's got 18 points in 20 games, basically a point per game on a guy in a $900,000 entry-level contract. We can worry about what it's going to cost to sign him going forward. But have you been impressed with Kuzmenko, even though we were expecting big things? I wasn't expecting 18 points in 20 games.
I've been very impressed. I actually, so it's, because he came from the KHL, there's not a lot of opportunity for us to watch, right? So based off reputation and kind of the scouting reports on him, somebody who's not a super fast skater, great IQ, good hands, great shot. But coming from the bigger sheet to the North American sized rink, you don't know how that's going to translate. And I was starting, I was a little concerned that, you know, how long of an adjustment period that could be for him. Obviously not from a cap perspective, like that's just found gold as far as Kuzmenko is concerned, but you know, what that adjustment would look like for him. I mean, it's been seamless and instant, putting up numbers like that match rookie Besser. That's nothing to shrug at. That's fantastic. So, I mean, we've got all that we could ever hope for and more from Andrei Kuzmenko so far.
Awesome, Sean. And I don't think you did this on purpose, because neither of us are smart enough to do this on purpose, but I love how you use the word translate when talking about Kuzmenko, talking about his play. But just a PSA for everyone watching on the Steve Dangle Podcast Network, I learned this. Translation is actually not verbal. It's actually written, and interpretation is verbal. So if Podkolzin is actually speaking for Kuzmenko, he's actually interpreting for him. He's not translating for him. Sean, I not to put you on the spot. Did you know that? I just learned that this year.
I did not know that So that's great.
Yeah, just something. But because we're always trying to make each other better here on SDPN. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of better, Canucks power play. They have been good the past few games. I would always complain that it was a little too predictable. You have the three guys up top playing catch, Miller, Hughes, and Petey, and you kind of forget about Besser/Kuzmenko and Horvat. But today they were moving the puck. They were winning the draw, crisp, assertive passes. And they didn't use the bumper or the net front as much today. But when they do, they're so much more dangerous. But I thought their power play looked outstanding tonight. And the stats bear that out. 3-5. What'd you see there?
I saw three goals, three different ways, which, I mean, that's great, right? Like, you don't want to have the same play. I mean, if it works, it works, right? But for the Canucks, it, like you said, it's been kind of stale and predictable. And a lot less movement, it's been really stagnant. And so being able to see JT Miller get a snap off from the top circle, as we talked about, within 5 seconds of the power play starting, Pettersson one timer in his patented spot, and then Brock Besser be able to tip a really clean OEL shot right through. I mean, that shows versatility, right? And that's ultimately what you want as a power play, is to be able to throw different looks. I like that both power play units scored.
Yes.
Because coming into this game, I was like, you know, there's a couple tweaks that I would like to do just personnel wise on the two units. And I'd kind of like to see them utilize. I mean, you're going to put pause on that for right now after they have a heater like tonight. So that's great.
Yeah, I love the second unit. I remember even last year, Sean, I would say, and obviously when Pearson's healthy, he's usually on that unit. They're always much more direct, maybe because they didn't have the good enough playmakers, but it was the Pearsons, the Garlands, the OELs of the world that would just get to the front of the net, shoot the puck.
Shots on goal.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we saw. You're right, Dries wins the draw. I think it was Dries to Garland to OEL. And then, right away, and I think when your second unit, even in their 35 or 40 seconds, granted they started that one, if they can pitch in a goal here and there, wow, that just makes it so much tougher, and it makes teams tentative, not want to take penalties. And then that means they're worse off 5-on-5, the opponent, I mean. So overall, obviously, it's not rocket science. You need a good power play to make teams pay. Canucks did so tonight.
I like that they did it on back-to-back Nick Waugh undisciplined penalties as well, like just taming him right down. Like, he wanted to be aggressive in this
Yep.
game and be in their face. And after two penalty calls and two power play goals, I mean, you're really second guessing and giving that second thought to every aggressive check that you're doing up to that point, because you don't want to go 3 for 3 like that's so no, I love that they weaponized that and were able to make them pay for that kind of play. That's great.
And one more word about tonight's game. Looking at the defense real quick, Quinn Hughes after a rare game with no points yesterday. It was back to him getting 2 points. Not yesterday, but when they beat Colorado, him getting two
Yeah.
assists. Ekman Larson gets one. But Kyle Burrows, check the stat line: 6 hits, 3 blocks, and 20 minutes of ice time. Is this Kyle Burrows slash Riley Stillman debate? Is it even a debate anymore? And do we have to fear, Sean, that Boudreaux is somehow going to go back to Stillman over Burrows? And that's not even talking about Travis Dermott coming back to play soon.
I really hope it's put to bed,
Yeah.
because Burrows has been and continues to be the better defender out of the two. I understand they went and acquired Stillman for that physicality. But as we've seen in a couple points, real I mean tonight from really unsuspecting customers, that the team is able to bring that with or without him. And
Good point.
for Kyle Burrows to be able to eat those kind of minutes. And to, I mean, there's a couple times where he's standing guys up. He's throwing his weight around, like you said, 6 hits, and he wasn't a defensive liability at all. Like that, to me, he needs to be one of those guys that they need to be nurturing to be part of the next great Canucks team.
Yeah.
And I don't see that in Stillman. Not a knock on him. Burrows is just better, and to me, if I'm Boudreaux, and I mean, let's face it, this hasn't been an easy season for Boudreaux up to this point, with everything in the media as far as what Rutherford's put out there. Just wild. But I would be going with the guy that gives me the better minutes, and Burrows is that guy. So, like, I want to see Rathbone injected in the lineup before I see Stillman again. But I mean, it's great to see that kind of play from Burrows. And one guy that you didn't mention there, but I really loved his game tonight as well, was Ethan Bear. And so you could see him really getting comfortable in Vancouver and starting to seize the opportunity that he has ahead of him, which
Glad you
is
mentioned it. He made that beautiful pass
fantastic.
to Oman in the first period, right in the slot. Unfortunately, the goal, the one goal. So yeah. And by the way, who needs toughness when you have Connor Garland dropping the gloves, right? Of course, his opponent is the one guy who scores, which is so annoying. But that was a weird
The
one, right?
5'8" enforcers, yes.
It went off of Bear's back, right? That's why it took such a weird bounce. It went off Bear's back. So Martin is already kind of, and then it bounces off the glass weird. And of course, it's Marchessault who sticks it in the net.
Oh, I of course Marchessault too. Like the one guy that no Canucks fan wants to see score is the guy who puts it away. So,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Well, yes. Good pull on Ethan Bear. I think he's been great as well. And I think it's going to be fascinating to watch, because when Travis Dermott ultimately gets back, now you're at 9 healthy D. You think Rathbone to Abbotsford seems to be the easy, less risky play, but then you still got to figure out what you're doing with Burrows and Stillman. But let's worry about that when we get to that point. So thank you, Sean. What we're going to do now is let's transition to our second segment, where we're going to talk big picture about this team. So we'll give a quick pause, because I got to insert an ad in the podcast. So we'll pause just like this, a deep breath. Perfect. Okay. Sorry for those of you seeing that. That probably wasn't the nicest scene. And I'll remind you here once again to subscribe to SDPN, subscribe to Sean at SeanWarren234 on Twitter. And you can follow me at Canuck Clay on Twitter as well. And like this video, like the fact that the Canucks won, and they've won 2 straight. And believe it or not, they're 3 points out of a playoff spot. Anyways, okay, Sean, you know me. I am the founder of the GLCPC, the Good Looking Canucks Positivity Club. You are just as good looking, if not better, but maybe not as positive, at least in past lives. So I let's you can pull in any stats or any experience or any insight you want. I see a team that blew seven multi-goal leads, not one goal leads, multi-goal leads. Tell me this, is this wrong thinking? A good team should have closed out at least four half of those, right? Because they're multi-goal leads,
Oh, at
not one goal
least.
leads. That's eight
At
more
least.
points. That's 27 points for the Canucks in 21 games, and then they're comfortably in a playoff spot. ignorant thinking? Is that actually downplaying that there are bigger issues, not just mental breakdowns or fluky losses? Like, I guess this is my long way of saying, what do you make of this team? Are they the team that blew seven multi-goal leads and went 0-7 to start the season? Are they the team that have won four of the last five, including beating LA, Vegas, and Colorado? Or are they somewhere in the middle, and are you still trying to figure them out?
So I'm going to kind of Solomon this one. I think it's really in the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't see them being as bad as we saw, right? Like, that's historically bad. Like, they were on pace for something ridiculous, like a 56-point season. Like, this team is a lot better than that. As much as I know a lot of Canucks fans, I'll admit myself included, we cover the CHL at Area 51. We see a lot of Bedard. I would love to see Bedard in Vancouver. But I mean, that's just dreaming, right? Like, there was no way the Canucks were going to be in that conversation, that lottery. And I mean, at the end of the day, they might be in the lottery because I don't see them as a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of that marker in the season, right? American Thanksgiving, usually the teams that are in the playoff picture, that's the teams in the playoffs at the end of the season. I think it's like a 3% discrepancy where that's wow. Not the case. It's real, like the odds, unfortunately for the Canucks playoff hopes, are really not in their favor, even though we're looking at it as, yes, they're 3 points out of the playoffs. Only in Vancouver are we counting points outside the playoffs in November. But
yeah, way to shoot down my bubble, but thanks. Where's my
yeah,
bubble?
Sorry.
Oh, it's good.
that's a very Vancouver thing. We all do. It's great.
Totally.
But for, you know, I see this team as a bubble team again. And my concerns, a lot of them are just in roster construction and cap allocation. This team is maxed out for cap. Bo Horvat, who's putting up a career season, is due for a new contract, which is not going to be cheap, especially yeah. as he's second in NHL scoring right now. And, you know, it's, to me, it's an accumulation or a culmination of misstep after misstep after misstep fumbling into each other over the last 8 to 10 years, right? And so at a certain point, there has to be a reckoning for that. As much like I hate to do this on a night like this where we've had so much fun, but I just don't see this being a real thing. And the Canucks need to take some considerable steps to think, when are we going to be a contending team, and how do we get there from here?
Yeah.
And start making those very hard decisions, because they are going to be painful decisions right now.
I love what you said there, Sean. And despite my, you know, my founding the GLCPC, I do have a bit of a realistic bone in my body. I get how you might have to take, as much as fans don't want to, some fans, I think that this market is mature enough to realize that maybe a couple steps back are needed still to get to ultimately where we want to go. Because you're right, it's been 8 years of complete up and down. So if I'll give you that. I agree with what you said, that we're not there. We can't be kind of tempted or persuaded by a couple strong performances. The bigger question is, do you think Rutherford and Alvin see what you just said?
It's hard to say, because they say the right things in the media, aside from their bashing of Boudreau. They say the right things, right? Like, they say we're going to target younger players. They talk about how the importance of cap space, draft picks, but we've seen the opposite so far. So I don't know if it's them kind of feeling things out and then kind of being wrong, and that's something that they need to correct. Because up to this point, I mean, we've seen the JT Miller extension. Clearly they should have extended Horvat instead. Yeah. And then they could have explored options with Miller mid-season or at the trade deadline or at the end of the season, depending on what they wanted to do there. I mean, how much of a bargain could they have got on Bo Horvat before this season started?
Right.
So for me, you know, like, you see the draft pick traded in the Dickinson trade, you see picks moved out and not moved in. And I start to wonder if the talk that they're talking, which is the music that we want to hear, is being backed up by the walk. Right now, there's no correlation, and I want to see that happen because, as you said, this is a mature fan base, really knowledgeable. If you communicate a plan and then execute that plan, even if there's, you know, step backs or moves that don't work out, I really think that this fan base is going to be understanding and buy into the bigger picture. But the walk and the talk need to match.
Yeah, great point. And one more question I want to ask you. So we've heard a lot, and you kind of referenced it, that it was a shock when Miller got re-signed over Horvat. And no one would have believed 6 months ago if you told us that Miller had the 7-year extension, Horvat was on the verge potentially of walking. So there's a lot of consternation. Hey, how come they haven't met with his agent, even though they're in Toronto? How come they haven't talked? But then Darren Dreger is one, and I think we might see more, and maybe it's the Canucks helping fuel these, but we're starting to see at least insiders saying, actually, no, the Canucks do want to keep Horvat. They do not want to trade him. They're going to do everything because they know everything that he means to this team. Do you believe that, Sean? Do you think it's lip service? Or again, is it somewhere in the kind of mushy middle? Because you never know what to believe. But what do you ultimately think is going to happen with this Horvat situation?
Part of me just honestly expects him to re-sign him because that's the move that handcuffs them the most, right? I love Horvat. I don't want him to go. If I could go back to the day that they signed JT Miller and just like scream no, shred up the piece of paper and say that it should be Bill Horvat instead, I would. But, you know, you can't keep buying into this team as currently constructed. And there needs to be room for change. And the sad part is they can't long-term even afford the team that they have, which at best is a team that might squeak into the playoffs.
Right.
So if they want to ultimately contend for a Stanley Cup, which we all want to see, they need to start making some harder decisions that will put them on the path where they're able to bring in young players that are going to be part of that next great Canucks team in 3 to 5 years, whenever that is, hopefully on the sooner side of that. Right. But does a 32, 33, 35-year-old Bo Horvat factor into that?
Yeah.
I mean, those are kind of the decisions that they need to make. And that's where I think they need to move him. I don't expect them to because it's the Canucks and they will find a way to sign him and then we'll sign the next Ilya Mikheyev in the free agent pool, not address the defense and have another $3 to $4 million fourth liner.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's the history that we've seen. And it really feels like we've seen this movie before.
Right.
I can't wait to be eventually proven wrong one day. And I think that's one thing that people misunderstand when you're critical about the Canucks is that we want to cover a really good Canucks team.
Yes.
You know, we want to, and it's frustrating to try to pull positives from a night where they just get spanked and there's nothing good and they blow a multi-goal lead and you're left scratching your head wondering what happened. And then you look at the blue line and it's the same as it has been the last 3 to 4 years.
Amen.
You know, and it's
No.
At a certain point, things need to change and it's going to be painful and it's just got to happen.
You're so right. So it's better for all content creators. We have more fun. We get more eyeballs on. People are more excited when the team is doing well. Sean, I want to do this. I don't want to be limited to my cheap free Zoom account. I would love if you can give me 10 more minutes and because I want to.
Yeah.
I would love because I love your insight. I love the flow tonight. We got almost 90 people in here, which is great. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you, and we'll figure this out on the fly, basically leave this call and then come back in. And then in the meantime, I will make it work on the screen. And in about a minute or two, we'll have you back on. Does that sound okay?
That sounds great.
All right, let's do it. So I will switch the screen. I'm going to end this. I'm going to make Sean rejoin. In the meantime, why don't you start getting your questions into the chat? Get your questions in the chat right now as I try and get Sean back in here. And then we will have him with me answering your questions for about 10 minutes or so. So once again, make sure that you are typing in your questions in the chat. And I think we're about 30 seconds from having him again, which is pretty exciting. I'm getting good at stalling at this because, again, I'm too cheap to buy my own Zoom account, so I'm limited to the 40 minutes. But if you keep answering your questions, as soon as Sean gets back in here, we will definitely have him help me.
Recording in progress.
Oh, see, that was pretty fast. Look at that. I think he's coming on.
Recording stopped.
Okay, now you can hear that my computer. I'm not recording Sean, so he can say what he wants freely, even though this is going to be on YouTube and a podcast. Sean, are you back?
I'm back.
Awesome. Now we can go for another 40. Don't worry. We're not going to go for another 40 minutes, but we'll go for another 10 minutes or so. And I would. Was that? You're okay?
You know I would. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Okay, let's start with Damned Daniel says, is Petey ready to be captain, regardless of Horvat, but maybe sped up if Horvat leaves? Petey, captain material to you, Sean.
Yes. Purely because he's the one leading this team on the ice. I think he handles the media very well in Vancouver. He wants the spotlight and the responsibility on him in all situations. Yep. If Horvat is traded, Petey is absolutely my pick for captain. Yes.
Very good. J-Lo. Oh, Jennifer Lopez is in here? No, J-Lo. It's Ooh. A guy. J-Lo says, let's say management keeps the team intact and they make it all the way to the second round. So they win one round. The question is, would you still blow it up next year? And I guess that includes Boudreaux. So let's say the Canucks win one round, but they lose in the division finals.
I don't think you really have a choice, yeah. Just based off how the cap structure is going long term, right? If you visit their cap friendly page, there's a lot of money tied long term and beyond this season. It's really hard to even afford the team that is currently constructed as it is. If we're making it to the second round, which would be fantastic to cover because that means we're in for a wild finish to this season, is like you got to think Bo Horvat, how valuable, right? So, I don't think you really have a choice. I think management has really put their foot down and said that Bruce isn't their guy. Yeah. So you expect the change there at the very least. And I mean, at the very end of this season, do you see Bruce signing an extension with Vancouver being kicked around to start? I don't. So, you know, I think change is inevitable. It would be fun to cover that kind of run though. That'd be excellent.
Nothing like it. Darth Nutella asked a question, but we covered it already. So Nutella, I'd ask you when we're done, go back to about the 30-minute mark where actually Sean and I did talk about, or 20-minute mark, is this team the team that gave up 7 multi-goal leads, or is this the team that's won 4 the last 5? I'll give spoiler alert. We both said they're kind of in the middle of those two extremes, but we did answer that. But thank you for answering that question. Lindsay's got a fun one here. I guess meeting you for the first time, it's actually really funny. It says, I just missed it. I don't want to be scrolling on this forever. Here. I just read that where Sean works. Is this his way of saying he's an alien since he's from Area 51? Can you give a quick recap of why your network is called the Area 51 Network?
It's actually named after Elias Patterson. So, huge Patterson fan.
Yep.
So we loved the nickname, how unique it is with Alien, and we built a whole brand off of it. So yeah.
Love it. So we have Area 51, we have the Church of Patterson. We got a lot of things that Patterson has helped spawn here. Nexus asks, aside from Horvat then, and don't say, you can say Demko, Petey, and Hughes, but we got to be realistic too. Who's the best trade chip for the Canucks that, and I'll kind of refine it, say realistic that the Canucks could actually end up moving. We heard talk about Garland, Besser, because at least those guys might fetch you something, maybe not as much as you want, but stop answering for you. Who do you think is the best trade chip for the Canucks right now?
Right now, I mean, I know he didn't want us to mention it, but Thatcher Demko is probably the best trade chip aside from that. 3 years left, $5 million per season. A ton of teams that would kill to have a Thatcher Demko on their team. He's definitely the next biggest.
Yeah.
I think that there's, it's hard to say because they've hurt some of the trade value of some guys like a Garland with the healthy scratch. I would say the next biggest one, probably a guy that they don't want to move, is Andrei Kuzmenko. Being as cheap as he is, he's on a 1-year term. He's putting up great numbers. Somebody that could help put a contending team over the top in a depth role. So, yeah, I would say probably Kuzmenko, to not mention the names that you brought up. But, I mean, that's somebody that they're going to try not to trade, I think.
And I think, and not just because of your answer, in general, we as fans, we tend to always overvalue our own players because we think that we can get so much for these players that we are watching every single day for better or for worse. And by the way, Sean, speaking of better or for worse, everyone heard you, but I forgot to switch the screen. So it's fine now, but for their first 4 minutes of your part two, they could hear your beautiful voice, but they would see my beautiful face at the same time. So, but now, sorry, everyone watching, but now we're both on the screen for the last few minutes or so.
That works.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Do you, this one's not from the chat. This is just me asking you, are you at all worried about Demko's confidence right now?
No.
Okay.
There's a few things. I think Thatcher Demko, the reason why he's been so dominant at every level up to this point, I think back to his education in Boston is with psychology. So he seems pretty unflappable. And, you know, he leans really heavily on Ian Clark. His relationship with Ian Clark's fantastic. We've seen it time and time again. I don't think there's any panic there. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a matter of, you know, trying to take things one game at a time, build on some of the things that he's picked up on. Yeah. I do wonder how much his offseason surgery impacted things for his start. But goalies go through streaks like this. It happens. We haven't seen it with Thatcher Demko up to this point, which just shows how remarkable he's been throughout his professional career up to this point. But no, I'm not worried about his confidence at all.
Good. Me neither. All right. Two more questions. One of them, this is a good one. It's from Cam Courtney. Says, what do you think is wrong with Podkolzin? And I'll preface this by saying he's only in his second year, so maybe sophomore slump. He was good at the end of last season, gave us some hope. But there is slight concern considering Tanner Pearson's hurt, Stadnika's hurt. So you could argue with him being out, he could be like 14. Maybe he's, Dries isn't playing, though. I get it if those two guys aren't hurt. But still, Podkolzin can't crack this lineup that has Oman, Daniel, Lazar, all these guys, sorry, Dakota Joshua playing ahead of him. Are you worried, or is this just part of being a guy in his second year in the league?
I think it's a bit of that. I think it's really hard to get a good rhythm when you're in and out of the lineup so much too. And, you know, I kind of go back to the discussion that we were having about, you know, when is this team going to be that next great Canucks team, and the decisions that need to be made in the process of that. For me, Podkolzin needs to be in every game. He's going to have nights that are tough, whether it's sophomore slump or just whatever's going on there, confidence perhaps, you know. It's, I think he needs to be getting regular reps. Nils Höglander, same thing. Jack Rathbone, you know, like these are the players that you want to be part of that next great Canucks team. They fit that age bracket, and they've got great ceilings. To me, like, those are the types of players to be nurturing and giving experience to and opportunities to. If it's not going to happen in Vancouver, I hope that they get it in Abbotsford, because they need to be getting those kinds of reps and building that confidence, working on things. And, you know, if he has to spend a little bit of time in Abbotsford, that's okay to me, because at least he's getting reps. And so I don't know necessarily what's going on, but I don't think it's helping being in and out of the lineup as much as he has been.
Yeah, and the two things, the two most important things about Höglander and Podkolzin, they're both on $900,000 entry-level contracts. And you're right, you can send them to and from Abbotsford without fear of losing them on waivers. So yeah, they're not playing up here for more than one or two games at a time. Make that quick, as long as they're playing at home, make that quick trip and get them in some game time. I agree with you completely. Okay, last question. What's your prediction for tomorrow? Canucks and Sharks.
Canucks and Sharks. I think it's going to be a lot closer than tonight. But if they play anywhere close to what they're playing tonight, they're coming out with a win.
Love it.
I'm going to go Canucks W on this one.
I love it. That means that I agree with Sean. Of course, I'm going to pick a Canucks win. That means the Sean. That means the Canucks would close to within one game of 500 with the win tomorrow. They would move up to 9-10-3, but they go to bed tonight 8-10-3, but winners of their last two. Sean, I will let you get going, and then I'll do the close of the show. I so greatly appreciate you joining me tonight. This was quick, man. This was 45 minutes of probably the quickest chat I've had. So thank you. Thank you for sharing your expertise and your time. Once again, please let everyone know where they can follow you, and then we'll let you do your thing.
Absolutely. So you can find all the great work that's being done within the Area 51 Sports Network at area51sportsnet.com. Again, we follow a lot of the CHL and cover that. Of course, Canucks, Flames. We've covered a lot of the World Cup up to this point and UFC. Lots of great sports coming on the way as well on the horizon here. And then you can follow me on Twitter at SeanWarren234.
Awesome. That's also corresponding to how many wins in a row the Canucks are going to get. Two, then three, then four. So Sean, if
this
means...
It's going to keep going
up. Yeah, exactly. your name next week will be Sean578. So if it means the Canucks are winning 5-1 all the time, I'm going to have to get you on here more often. But thanks for your time again, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
I agree. Anytime, my friend.
Okay, thanks, Sean. Take care.
Take care.
All right, bye. That, my friends, was Sean Warren of the Area 51 Network. Make sure you check him out on Twitter. I want to thank you for being here tonight. Tonight was a lot of fun, not only the game, but this stream. A couple of technical things, but you know, that's what I only come in every couple of weeks or so, but you don't have to wait 2 weeks. All you got to do is wait about 24 hours because I'll be your host tomorrow night again. So maybe the Canucks go for their third straight win. They creep to within even closer to the playoff spot. And no better person to talk about it than the most positive and unrealistic Canucks fan on the planet. And that would be yours truly, Canuck Clay. So on your way out, make sure that you like this video. Make sure that you subscribe to SDPN, Steve Dangle Podcast Network channel right here on YouTube. And you can also follow me both on Twitter and on YouTube at Canuck Clay. Thanks for being here. I hope you guys have a really, really good night. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend starting tomorrow. Canada, Croatia, soccer, 8:00 Pacific, 11:00 Eastern time. Going to get up for that. And then we'll see if I end up staying up for the rest of the day. And as always, I want to end off with a great dad joke because that's what I do here. So as always, thanks for being here. Thanks for your comments. Thanks for your fandom and your loyalty to this channel. Stay safe, stay healthy, take care of yourselves, and take care of each other. And I got to tell you, guess who I bumped into on my way to get my glasses fixed today? Everybody. Take care and go Canucks go. Good night, everyone.
Game over! Powered by Sports Interaction, Canada Sportsbook.